When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL.
Hockey. Yeah.
My favorite.
It's Judd's Hockey Show.
That was not a fun hockey game.
What?
I joke. It obviously, it's an exciting game. But we made some very unintelligent plays. And that's what... And you know what? Due to their... ability to check and ability to get sticks and on things and their skill set. But, you know, we made it harder on ourselves in a lot of different situations.
Dino!
Welcome to the Judd's Hockey Show!
My
How
guy.
About the suit game?
Oh, Dino.
The Dino suit game!
Dino's got some Ari...
Oh, man.
Ari Gold and Dean Evason, I think, have the same suit tailor because those things are
how much you think
tailored,
that suit,
baby.
How much you think that one runs?
Like after tailoring,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, like when he gets the final bill, how much do you think he paid for that suit?
$2,000. I got
one suit.
Yes, I got a suit. I got a suit from.
Are you serious?
A nicer. I won't name the place, obviously, but a nicer.
Oh, you
end
will
place
if they give you an endorsement.
I would. And I'll take all of them. I got the suit and then the tailor.
Yep.
And I still paid after the tailor. I was close to a grand. I was close to a grand after the suit and the tailoring. And I got a nice suit. I have a really nice, it's a nice suit. And I'm going to guess Dino has, I'm just going to double it. So I'm going to say it's probably $2,000.
So what do you think his clothing bill is then? Because, I mean, he's a hockey coach.
Oh, the clothing bill
is. He's got a closet.
Yeah, he probably does. You know, maybe the missus or someone is helping him out there. I don't know. But yeah, Dino, I could do a whole thing on breaking down suits with Dino.
Now, are hockey coaches like basketball ones where during the pandemic they've been given the option not to have to wear suits behind the bench? Because, like, you know, but the basketball coaches have basically been told, don't worry about it.
Sure.
So they've all gone to, like, you know, pullovers and athletic-looking stuff, which I'm fine with.
Right.
But I feel like the hockey guys, Torts doesn't wear a suit all the time, right? Sometimes Torts has, like a sweater on or something.
Yeah.
But I feel like the majority of the hockey people still wear suits.
Yeah. No, that's probably accurate. Yeah, they're nice suits, dude.
I like the athletic wear. I've always applauded, as a guy who myself enjoys hoodies, I've always applauded the football coach and now basketball coach. Wear something comfortable.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Like, you're coaching a sport. Wear something comfortable. All right, so Dean Evason, the Wild coach, was talking about, as we record this on Friday, Thursday night's overtime, or actually shootout win by the Wild against the Golden Knights, which gets them, Declan Goff, back on track after they lost back-to-back games and did get 1 point because they lost in a shootout to the Sharks. How about the difference? Let's start with this. The difference. Those Sharks games were awful. Like, the Wild didn't play well. The games were just boring. Like, the Sharks don't... It's not a real exciting brand of puck that those two teams played.
God, no.
And so those are 9:30 starts where, you know, by about halfway through the third, you're like, I'm sort of tired. I could really fall asleep right now. Last night's Wild Golden Knights game, and this is a credit, and I don't know why. When the Wild and Golden Knights play, it feels to me like the playoff like there's a playoff intensity in every one of those games.
Yep.
Last night was so much fun, and I don't even care who won. Cam Talbot was outstanding. The back and forth was great. Odd man rushes, which I'm sure drove our buddy Dino up the wall. But, like, that game, if you were a hockey fan, was so, so much fun to watch.
100%. It really, really was, man. I just got off, before we started recording here, I just got off the horn with our former colleague, Lindsay Brown.
Yeah, I never hear from her anymore.
Down in Las Vegas. Yeah, I think she wants, you know, the better perspective of Judd's Hockey Show. I get that.
I
understand that.
My cell phone must be broken.
Yeah, it must be broken. I don't know. Maybe Stella ate your phone again. But I was talking to her because she was asking me the same question because, I mean, they're in the West Division with us. They're playing those bottom feeders too. And she said, do you think teams like the Wild, they get stuck in that habit of playing down to their competition.
Yeah.
Down to the competition, right? Like those Sharks and the Ducks and the Kings and the Yotes, you know, do you get fooled and do you get comfortable playing those teams? And then when you see the Avalanche, which, by the way, waxed the Wild the last two times out. But then, for whatever reason, the Wild play the Knights, and it's this insane, very tight, back and forth, very fun brand of hockey. What is it about hockey that'll just do that sometimes? You know, like why is that? And I, you know, sometimes the fans get so up in arms and so drinking the Kool-Aid, including this guy right here, drinks some Wild Kool-Aid as well, that you have to also lower your, not expectations, but lower what you perceive this team can be. Because if you're beating the Ducks and the Sharks all the time, it only says so much. But if you're going toe-to-toe with the Knights, who I think, on paper at least, from a 30,000-foot view, are one of the best teams in the NHL, if not the best, the Wild give them fits. And Talbot was phenomenal last night. Hey, Robin Lehner finally getting some time in, and Lehner was great. I've been asking for him to come back. And yeah, and you guys, bell rung, we're getting to that in a little bit too, because I got takes on that, but... But it was an insanely fun game. Finally, after those snooze, even those Blues games, who we haven't even seen that much of, even those are mostly boring. These two teams would be absolutely fun to watch in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think the Blues games might be okay. The Avs, I don't know why. It seems like the Wild is not a great matchup for the Avs, and the Avs, that top line is just so damn good. It doesn't mean that the Wild can't beat the Avs on occasion, but I don't know what the reason is, but the Golden Knights and Wild just seem to be, the Golden Knights are better, but the matchups themselves seem to be incredibly entertaining to watch. And the fact is that last night, though, and this will be the key in any playoff series in which the Wild endeavors, the goaltending and Cam Talbot was phenomenal. And that second period alone, he made those back-to-back saves, which were interrupted by faceoffs in his zone. But the save that he made on the guy who got the puck to his left, so right wing side, and had an open net, and Talbot flared his glove across and made that save. And then the same player for the Golden Knights came back after the following faceoff and had another great chance in front, and basically all he had to do was shovel the puck in, I think on his backhand, into an empty net. And he tried that. And Talbot came with the paddle of his stick and made another. That save was probably as good or probably tougher than the glove save.
I was going to say, I don't know which one you're more enamored by.
Probably the second one, because it's probably tougher.
Well, the second one's tougher, but also it's unrealistic. Like, you know, like he's going to whack that stick, and I bet he misses it 9 out of 10 times. Now, the glove one, I'm not saying it's also... he's going to get it every time. But the glove one, to me, was more impressive because, I mean, he had the... Was it Tuck? It was Tuck, I think, wasn't it?
No.
Wasn't Tuck?
No.
Okay. But he had the entire barn door open, and Talbot just slides from right to left beautifully, grabs it out of thin air, and then, yeah, in the next ensuing faceoff, he whacks that stick, and it's just insane. And this is what happens when you get good goaltending. Isn't this insane? Isn't this fun to see when you actually have competent goaltending? And, you know, Talbot and Kapo have been... even more than average. They've been above average. I believe the Knights and the Wild came to the league last night, leading the league in save percentage. And that's just one metric. I don't fall in love with save percentage by any means. But at the same time, the goaltending for the Wild is huge, man. It's been the biggest reason, I think, for the success this season.
And that game last night was won by the goaltender. Like that. But that's what you need. So when we go back to the last couple of years of Judd's hockey show, Declan, when we talk about goaltender, so when you go into a playoff series, right, the goaltender has to win you a game or two.
Yeah.
Last night is the poster child for that game. Like, that's the type of game where you play okay, because I didn't think that the Wild in the back-to-back games against the Sharks didn't play well. I thought last night was an entertaining, really fun game, so I don't want to say they didn't play well, but they certainly gave up a lot of scoring chances. And those are the type of games where if you get into the playoffs, that if Cam Talbot or Kaapo Kakkonen can pitch a game like that once or twice, that's how you upset a team and win a playoff series. Where you get done, and there is no question in your mind that the top star of that game is your goaltender. There's not like, this guy played well and the goaltender played pretty well. No, the goaltender won you that game.
Yep. Goaltending has to steal you games in the playoffs. It absolutely does. And even going back to that Jake Allen series. Jake Allen, well, he stole the whole damn series. He didn't just steal the game. He stole the whole series. But at the same time, you need goaltending to do that for you here and there. Can the Wild, if they match up with Colorado in the first round, which, by the way, I think they lose in five, but it brings my point that can the Wild steal a game from Colorado in a best-of-seven series? Yeah, they can steal a game. It's hockey, and will Talbot probably have a good deal to do with that? Of course he would.
Mm-hmm.
But you need those performances every once in a while, and that's where I'm fascinated by the idea of a Knights and Wild playoff series.
Off of that game last night, too. Secondary point, but the same type of thing. I thought you had a lot of guys last night that played okay. You know, not great games, not bad games.
Yep.
They played okay. They were there. Cam Talbot was huge, absolutely huge. But you know what else you got last night? And this is the difference in the Minnesota Wild 2021 and the Wild last year or 2 years back. You know what you also got, Declan Goff? You got Kaprizov and Fiala.
Mm-hmm.
Were evident all game. And when they are your stars. I don't care. I don't care who else you tell me about. Okay? If we're talking about a team, I'm serious here.
I know you
are. If we're talking about a team that, like, you know, why don't you like the Wild previously? And now you're sort of high on them. Here's why. Because last night you won a really fun hockey game, which your goaltender was phenomenal. Been a long time since we've seen that, at least consistently.
Yep.
And your star forwards were a difference. And Fiala last night,
God,
I thought was incredible.
That power play.
And by the way, like, I hope we're taking into account how much he does now. Like, it's not just all offensive zone stuff. He does a lot. He was at one point put out there to kill penalties. So, like, he's playing that well that the head coach, who knows him very well, back to the fact that Dean and Fiala crossed paths and Dean coached him in Milwaukee, which is an affiliate of the Predators. So, but Kaprizov last night had the jump, I thought, almost the entire game.
Yeah.
The Sharks games,
he was quiet.
He flat. But I mean, he can always flash.
Sure.
Like, he can always flash.
Sure.
But didn't you think last night the 22-97 had the Jets going?
Oh, 100%. They're the Batman and Robin. And to your point of defensive zone, yeah, Dino's trusting him in the defensive zone for the first time in his career, essentially. So Fiala has come in through his NHL career. He has started in the offensive zone 60% of the time to just 40% in the defensive zone. So that was his career. This year, it's split right down the middle, 50-50. So he is starting in the offensive and defensive zone at the same rate, where previously it was basically a two-thirds difference that he was always in the offensive zone. You put your offensive dynamic player in the—I mean, that makes a lot of sense, right? I mean, that makes a lot of sense. But Fiala being in the defensive zone also, not only can he pick up some more prowess and be a penalty killer and this and that, but it can get them in transition well, right? It starts them from one end of the ice to the other. And when he has open ice, he's dangerous to watch. And, there was a breakaway or an odd man rush yesterday where he was on that he kind of fumbled on. But that I think he got slashed
on the end of that. Yeah, I don't think he just lost the puck completely by himself.
I think a lot, and for whatever reason, especially here on YouTube, there's one commenter, and I'm not going to name him because I don't know, number one, I don't name it off the top of my head, but one of our commenters just despises our praise of Kevin Fiala. And I think Fiala can absolutely drive a hockey purist crazy. And I'm not trying to slight our nice commenter there that it's because you're a hockey purist. I love that you love hockey and you support and watch our show, dude. I'm all in on it. But also, his turnovers and the things he does, I understand that frustrates you, but look at what he brings. Look at everything else he brings, and it offsets those little problems, right? I mean, that power play, the Spurgeon goal, Spurgeon gets the goal. That's all Fiala.
Yeah.
If you want to reward a goal instead of who actually shot the puck into the net,
right,
Fiala is the one who gets credit for that goal. He directed all the traffic because what was he going to do? And then there's Spurgeon right on the back door, bing, bang, boom.
Yep.
That was all Kevin Fiala. And also, yes, those two on the ice together, and now they're on the ice together, which is great. That's what I've been clamoring is that you have to do this. Eventually, the Wild were so stagnant, Judd, offensively, over the last few games, you had to have those two on the ice together. Oh. Fiala, Kaprizov.
Power play.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, but also, no, I think they started on the lines together. They just didn't, they started.
Because they broke them up quick if they did. Because then they put, They put Kaprizov with Ek and Greenway, and they put Fiala with Bonino and Rask.
You're right. No, I definitely.
My guy Rask.
Our guy Rask.
We can talk about that in a second.
But you have to, like, that's my point where eventually just go all in with Fiala, Ek, and Kaprizov. Just put a top line ahead. Just do that. I think it can work.
He doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to do it.
I think that's the best way to go about it.
He doesn't want to do it, and he really wants Ek with Greenway. He really does.
And I get that. It makes sense, but.
I want to talk about three Kaprizov plays from last night. The first one's the goal, okay? The goal, which was a tip-in, is phenomenal. I believe it was it Greenway who centered the puck? But that was not an easy tip-in. And his, my God, his hands and hand-eye coordination is unbelievable. In fact, Bally Sports North showed a play. It didn't amount to much, I don't think, but they showed a play last night where somebody flipped the puck into neutral for Kaprizov, but it was still in the air. Mm-hmm. And with his stick, he knocks it down and takes it and goes.
Yeah.
His ability to combine hand-eye coordination with finding the space and making a play in a phone booth is off the charts.
Yep.
Is off the charts. The second thing, Kaprizov, that I want to get into. Did you see the McNabb hit when Kaprizov tried to turn? He tried to make that move where he's going to stop on a dime and turn back and go towards the slot.
Mm-hmm.
And McNabb clearly had seen it on film and laid him out. And this was one of the first times that I've seen Krill like laid out like at high speed. And the camera, of course, followed the play. So we didn't get to see it. And I thought, where is he? Is he up? Because, like, he got laid out.
Yeah, he got his bell rung.
And what I love about this kid, he was back in the play in 2 seconds.
Yep.
Like, this is the KHL thing to me so prepared him for, oh, my God, I just got absolutely clocked. Okay, cool.
Right.
I'm back. But, I mean, I was waiting for him to be down, you know, moaning and groaning on the ice, getting off the ice as quick as he could. It didn't faze him one bit.
Yeah, I think with the KHL, number one, it's the second best league in the world, and we all know that. It is. It's better than the American Hockey League. It is. It's got former NHL players there. But it's a damn tough league. It's not going to be a league that just predicates on offense and high-flying, and there's going to be low checking and this, this, and that. It's a tough league, and he's built like a brick house, I think. But it's still surprising to see a guy of his nature, because he doesn't necessarily look big, you know, like especially if he had all of his gear off. I don't think you would necessarily be shocked he was as strong as he is. You'd maybe say, yeah, he's definitely an athlete. Look at him. I mean, for God's sakes. But he has been not just the natural skill with the puck and what he's able to do, but his strength, I think, has been the biggest surprise for me. His strength and his resilience to take a hit. Also getting other people's faces.
Mm-hmm.
He's a star player. A lot of star players sometimes They're going to butt out of that, and they're going to let the enforcers and their bigger bodies help their teammates out. But he's not afraid of getting someone's face either.
Last night he did that.
Yeah.
Last night.
Yeah.
He was right there. But, yeah, I love the fact that he can take a hit and get back up. Last thing, and I believe this was third period, and he damn near scored. And, again, it's incredible. Kaprizov's behind the net. He then tries. He's got a guy on him, basically draped on him. From the Golden Knights. He takes the puck, whips it around, and tries to score far side on a wraparound. But he does it in one motion, and I'm telling you, I bet you 90% of players in this league, if they tried that far side move, it goes off their sticks into the corner, right?
Yeah.
Because it's so quick. Yeah. I mean, it's a tough play. He damn near scored. The save was made. It's a nice save. But the point is, it's just another play that this guy can make. That how many players can make that move? And I can tell you off the top of my head, I don't think there's anyone else on his team, maybe Fiala, but I don't think so.
Oh, no.
Who can make that move and get a shot on goal in which the goaltender has to make a pretty nice save.
I think Fiala can make that move. I don't think he gets the shot.
That's the thing is, I think ordinarily that shot dribbles off your stick,
right?
Or it just goes to the corner because you can't pivot your wrist quick enough to get it on net.
Yeah, I think with what he is able to bring, it's why we're so spoiled and it's why we keep just singing his praises, because He is truly a very special player, and this team has lacked it forever. Fiala's a nice player. I think I am ahead of the Kevin Fiala fan club in this state of hockey. I'll lead it. And if there's a running for it, I'm on that ballot.
I would hope people understand that he's really good.
I think people do, but again, I think they get frustrated with how like he can turn over a puck or do this and that. He's had one goal in his last 10 games. You know, I can understand it. I want him to score more too. I'm with you there, but he is just as essential to the Wild success as the other top players on this team.
He's not on very good lines.
No,
I mean I'll go back. I'll look. There are times. There's no question. There are games that we have been to where he gets frustrated and it hurts him, and he'll take penalties, and he'll make a dumb play. Totally see that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But he's also, like last night, he's doing a lot of work all over the ice that a lot of guys with his skill don't like to do or won't do. I mean, I think we should acknowledge that this guy is a damn good player.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he's not Kaprizov, but who is?
No one.
Kaprizov's basically, he is a superstar talent. Fiala, I think, is a star talent. Like, I think he can be a star. He's not a star on a nightly basis, but he can be a star. In fact, should we get to our favorite discussion point?
Line combinations?
The line combinations, time for lines. The line combinations, what's going on here? Okay, I want to talk about line combinations.
Okay.
Couple things jump out at me. All right? The first thing, line last night.
Yep, looking at it.
I'm very confused. Fiala? Not confused. Rask?
Ugh.
The slipper got turned in at midnight. Like, it's over.
It's over.
The slipper's gone, okay? Yeah. I don't care if he hit a crossbar. The slipper is gone.
Yep.
Okay? Cinderella had her dance, and now it's done. And then I want to talk about the other wing on that line, because this has now become a thing since the Sharks.
Yeah.
Series, and I'm very confused by it. Nick Bonino's now a wing.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to ask you and help me.
Okay.
Nick Bonino has his strengths, great locker room guy, works his ass off on the ice. But he's not certainly a great player, and he's a veteran. And he was a guy on a team that's awful at faceoffs who actually had some spurts and can win faceoffs, okay?
Yeah, he can.
So why is he playing wing when he can win faceoffs? And furthermore, why is Victor Rask being treated like he's important? Like at every turn, Victor Rask would be the guy. Like, let's see, should I scratch a Sturm or Rask? And Sturm, by the way, can play center.
Yeah.
Let's see, who should we scratch tonight? Oh, it's going to be Rask. Let's see, who should play center, Bonino or Rask? Oh, hold on a second. Bonino should. Like, why is Victor Rask getting any consideration here whatsoever? He went through a nice little streak playing with a couple really good players. The chemistry went poof, it's gone. He's still not good.
No.
And I don't care if he scores goals. He's still not good, and he's still always going to revert back to being Victor Rask.
Yeah, I think he's next to get scratched here.
But can you explain this to me?
Why is
Bonino on the wing?
I don't know, because Rask, I'll give Rask this. Rask can win a faceoff.
So can Bonino.
I don't know is what I'm trying to tell you. That I don't really understand why you would put both of them together when two of them are they might be your best two faceoff guys on the same line. So I don't get it at all. The idea with how much zebras kick people out that you can slot them in, like,
but
then that's just dumb. That doesn't make any sense.
No,
I would.
To be honest, I would.
Either, well, Kyle Rouse probably gonna get scratched again. I mean, Kyle Rouse is who he is.
He's a fill-in guy.
And
then Johnson has now been the fourth line center.
And whatever, Luke Johnson can play fourth line center. I'm all right with that.
And he can win some faceoffs. I feel like they become way too enamored with that, though.
Yep.
Like they're so bad on faceoffs. Okay, I get that. But why is Bonino then not taking draws?
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing.
Right. I would put Nico Sturm back in this lineup.
So would I.
To be honest, I would just swap Rask for Sturm. Give Sturm a run. I don't think there's any harm. And look, he's not that player. People don't look at him as that player, but there is no harm to me in putting Nico Sturm on that top six with Fiala. I do not see it. I don't see the huge issue there. If the floor is Victor Rask, if our Loris expectation is Victor Rask,
you're right.
The basement is not Nico Sturm. It is not. There's not a step down there.
Well, yeah. No, you're right.
So try out. And Sturm also has some speed. Like, Sturm is probably a fourth bottom six guy, but Sturm has speed.
That's what I want to see, because I think you're right about that, too. That's why I want to see him.
I think he has, yeah.
Because I think he has speed, and I think that there's more there, and I think the more responsibility that he possibly gets, the better he'll be.
But you
were trying Nick Bjugstad as a top six center at one point, okay? If you're going to do that, then it's on.
Right.
Then you can do anything you want. Like, you can't come back and say, well, you don't understand, Judd. Bjugstad deserved that, and Sturm's not there yet. Nick Bjugstad's a depth guy who has, you know, settled into a fourth line right wing, which is, I'm fine with that. But you can do whatever you want. The Rask thing, though, needs to end. Like, you got a spurt from him. He can give you spurts. And you got that spurt. But that's it. I mean, this is not a let's reunite Rask and Zuccarello and Kaprizov and recapture the magic of those 2 weeks. No, you got what you're going to get. Now either scratch him. He should always be the starting point of, do we even need to play him?
Right.
And you know what? If my GM comes to me and says, what are you doing with Victor Rask? I'm going to tell him the truth. I'm going to say, dude, until we get centers here,
we got to play them.
I'll do whatever. I'll just do what I want with these guys.
For sure.
Like, these are, I like him, but I mean, I can put Victor Rask, Ryan Hartman, Nick Bjugstad, Johnson in a tumbler,
right,
and shake them up and dump them out, and I can play them like that.
Right.
You know, I mean, I like Ek because of what Ek brings.
Yep.
So I would not include him in that. But, you know, Rask, Hartman, Johnson, Bjugstad, Bonino, too, to a certain degree. But, I mean, I would, given the importance that I think Bonino has off and on the ice decks, I would give Bonino way more consideration about how I'm going to use guys than Victor Rask.
No, you're right. You're totally right. And, look, the trade deadline's here in a couple weeks. Maybe, you know, they're trying. I don't think there's really going to be big buyers at the deadline this year. I think mostly it's going to be a sellers and also swapping kind of like contract and basically matching salary.
Yeah.
It's going to be probably a pretty quiet deadline.
That's I think you're right.
Obviously, I love crazy NHL trade deadline. It typically is a little crazy. I love breaking it down, keeping it on Sportsnet and TSN and all the great channels all day to break it down in a normal year. I'm getting emotional too. You and I did that last year in 2020. But I think mostly it's not going to be that. So, you know, if someone wants to take Victor Rask and we take on an equally, you know, probably albatross contract, it depends who that player is. I'm willing to listen. I'm not just going to say I'm out on that completely 100%. But I think that's maybe his goal, is to possibly keep him in the lineup so someone can take the app and say, oh, but Victor, he has 8 goals this year, and he only had 5 in the last 100 games before that. So I think that's kind of their thing, too. And also to that point, you know, Johansson. Johansson's there's something different here. Even, and I've been his biggest critic, I think, also in this state. I don't like him. I didn't like what he brought, but I will even admit, in the last 2 weeks since he's come back, he's been a good player. He's been a very good player. He's been what they wanted him to be. He's been moving very well. He's fast as heck. And that's another guy. Again, if someone wants a rental, take him. I think you're just fine without him as well.
Yeah, and he had some plays. There was one shift in particular against the Sharks in the Shark Tank on Wednesday where he turned over the puck twice, and it was just inexcusable. It was just lazy and awful. But yeah, he's been... Yeah, I mean, Johansson would go in the same tumbler that I'm talking about of mix them up, shake them up, whatever. I don't care. The realization center-wise is, for the most part, they just don't have them.
Yeah.
Like, they're trying. But, I mean, that's why I'm getting confused about the Bonino move and what they're doing with Rask, and why they seem to be giving Rask preferential treatment. Like, he's still... I mean, does Victor Rask have some skills? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But he can't keep up. He can't skate with this game today.
Okay, I mean,
that game last night, Dex, which again, because it's back and forth, was marvelous. You could see it in Rask, Ian Cole, who I love. I love that pickup. But that game was too fast for Cole. The Cole-Soucy combination in a game like that, that's trouble, man. Because the Golden Knights basically run transition like a fast break. Like, they are looking to transition, bang, 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 and they are not going to dilly-dally around with a puck. So if you're Cole or Soucy, like, you probably don't move fast enough to combat what they're going to do on a consistent basis.
Yeah, I'm ready to kind of punt on the Carson suit. I'm not saying punt as in like just cut him, but I think last year through the first 40 games, someone like you're kind of like, oh, there's something unlocked here. Like he's jumping the play a little bit more. He's scoring some points. Oh, he might not just be like a bottom six guy. This actually could be maybe a borderline top four dude. I don't think so. I think he is who he is. That's not to say he's not a serviceable hockey player. I don't mean to completely rip him, but I think we got fooled a little bit in that first half splurge a season ago where he went off. And I to be honest, I would rather keep around, if you're going to ask me just for 2 years, and I typically defer to younger players here, if I could keep Ian Cole or Carson Soucy for the next 2 seasons, I'm keeping Ian Cole.
Oh, I love Ian Cole.
I really do.
I do. He just can't keep. He's just not.
Oh, yeah.
Like there are teams, the Avs probably as well, for sure, right?
Yes.
The Golden Knights. They're just so damn fast. Now, if Cole was asked to be a top four, you're in trouble. But as a 5-6 guy, it's fine. I'm just saying, it would be difficult in a playoff series for his veteran savvy to make up for his probably lack of speed.
No, I get that. That's accurate.
I mean, that's just life.
It is who he is.
All right, rant about the overtime situation and the goaltender interference called on Erickson Ek when he collided with Leonard last night.
Look, when you're coming in that hot, and I understand there was a trailing behind him. Yep. And nope, you're going to be ducking.
Pacioretty.
Pacioretty was right behind him.
Pacioretty was right behind him.
I know there was a push. I'm not saying there was not contact, but he was coming in so hot. Let's say that he doesn't get pushed. There was zero chance he was going to be able to avoid him. And the league will always protect the goaltender, 100%. They're going to protect the goalie every single time. That is interference. If you want to make the case that, well, then take them both, because that's BS, that they're always going to protect the goalie. What is X supposed to do? Well, first off, if he's going guns a-blazing, full speed, hey, Leonard, here I come, and you hit him, that's just goalie interference every time. Huh? They're going to call that every single time. I think there's so many, and I'll give them this a little bit. The officiating this year has been horrible in the NHL. It's been exceptionally bad. Maybe not horrible, but exceptionally bad. But the refs aren't working against your favorite team. Number one, the refs are not working against your favorite team. They are not doing that. Get off your head. Am I being a homer? Ask yourself that. Am I being a homer watching all these calls go the other way? I understand if you want to take both. I get it, but I'm serious. They're going to take Ek every single time for that play or any player that crashed into the goalie.
In fact, I think he had missed a few weeks before that because of concussions. Fleury started all of those games that he did previously for the Golden Knights against the Wild because he had been out with concussion. So I'm with you. I think the rule should be rewritten for that predicament exactly. If you are cutting in, if you have I'll combine the NBA and hockey.
Okay.
If you have a clear path, like a clear path foul.
Yep.
If you have a clear path to the goaltender and I push you and accelerate you, I should go too. Because if we're going to try to protect the goalie, everyone has to do it. It can't just be the opponent.
Yeah.
So if I have a clear path, which Ek pretty much I think did, and Pacioretty didn't, I mean, it was actually a good play because he didn't hook him down. He grabbed him a little bit. You could have called that. But if I'm going to shove you to basically accelerate your movement towards my goaltender, I think that should be some type of clear path foul. So if the goaltender crash, or if the goaltender then gets crashed into, everybody is held responsible. Because you're right about Ek. I just don't think it's fair to assume that he would have crashed into the goaltender when he was helped. That would be my assessment. Because here's the thing. When you give a power play in 3-on-3, which then becomes a 4-on-3, as we saw, and Talbot was great, he was marvelous. But I mean, it is hard to kill that off.
Yeah.
Like 5-on-4, you got some protections as far as guys, and you can play that fan out a little bit. 4-on-3, man, it makes it really, really simple to get good scoring chances. But yeah, as far as the Wild being screwed, I saw a couple tweets about that last night, and the officials are against us. No, they're not. They're not against anybody.
God, people.
They're not against it. It's look.
Wake up and smell the coffee, Mrs. Bueller.
Officials and announcers are not against your team. Like, Joe Buck does not hate the Vikings, and the referees from last night did not hate the Wild. That's our biggest problem.
Correct.
Everybody always thinks the announcers hate us, Look at how anti-Minnesota they are. And damn it, the officials do too.
Yeah, no, that's not the case.
All right, final thoughts. Are you good?
I think I'm mostly good. I'm excited to see what they do one more time here against the Knights. At least it's on a Saturday this time.
We'll got some home games coming up then.
Yes,
Colorado on Monday. They're going to allow 3,000 fans in.
Yeah, thank God.
Which means I'm going to have to park a little bit not as convenient as I have.
Well, I think you'll still be able to get in that ramp.
Oh, you get the ramp. I'm just saying I've been on the top floor because there's no one there.
Yeah. That's true.
Oh, but I'm happy that fan's back.
Yeah,
like,
me too,
like
man.
Everybody else in the media. I'm so happy. Me and Bally Sports are all happy to have fans back. It's going to be emotional. All right, do your thing.
Fast shoot score.
This view was worth a hike.
Right? And it's a good way to stay on top of my health.
Yes, I'm Cologuard, a prescription colon cancer screening option for people 45 plus at average risk. Have you screened for colon cancer?
Not yet.
Don't wait. It's more treatable when caught in early stages.
Tell me more.
Cologuard is non-invasive and it's used at home. It detects altered DNA in your stool to find 92% of colon cancers.
92%?
Yep, even those in early stages.
This was seen in a clinical study with patients 50 and older. Any positive result should be followed by a diagnostic colonoscopy. False positive and negative results may occur. Cologuard is not a replacement for colonoscopy in high-risk patients. Do not use if you have had adenomas, have inflammatory bowel disease and certain hereditary syndromes, or a personal or family history of colon cancer.
Most insured patients pay $0. Ask your provider or an online prescriber if Cologuard is right for you, or visit Cologuard.com.
I'm in.